Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Wednesday to you. Got another nice edition.
Nice!
Of Talk Sports. I'm John Reed, joined by Cody McClure. Cody, what's up, brother?
Hi, good morning, John. Just hanging out. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere. I'm doing fine.
Love the energy already this morning.
I don't really know.
You know every damn day what I'm going to ask you.
I never have an answer.
I'm
all right.
I guess last night was okay. Do you really want to get into this, I guess?
I don't know. I wasn't prepared at all to answer because I'm doing okay, but I don't really have anything going on.
Damn, that's too crazy. I wonder how John's going to start the show today.
How you doing? Yeah,
maybe that's on me. Maybe I need to quit asking you how you're doing.
Terrific, John. Terrific.
There we go. We got some playoff baseball last night. Got opening night of the NBA. I feel like the opening night of the NBA delivered.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it sucks that minutes into the Cavs Celtics, Gordon Hayward, the best white basketball player in the world, dislocated his ankle.
Yeah, that was pretty gruesome.
Like, that kind of sucked.
Kind of looked like Paul George, Kevin Ware. I mean, it was
Ugly. It was on par with both of them.
Kevin Ware. I think Kevin Ware, that's the one I remember most, who's a little worse to me because the bone sticking out, you know. But this was pretty bad.
Yeah, the Kevin Ware one. Woof. I remember watching that one.
Yeah, it was nasty. This is one of the ones, though, that, I mean, you knew immediately, though, because you could hear the pop. And then the main thing for me, did you see the way Tristan Thompson just jumped back? He's like, oh, God. And then the Cavs bench, of course, all ran away. They're like, oh, man, it was ugly.
First half felt kind of weird after that. It's hard to bounce back after seeing an injury like that. Cavs went into the locker room up 16, but then the Celtics came kind of storming back, ended up taking the lead. They had a lead with 2 minutes left, and then LeBron made some plays down the stretch. They got the win. Kyrie misses at the end. Had a chance. LeBron kind of switched out on him in that last shot of the game. Kyrie misses. Cavs win. Kyrie booed. No hug before the game. But you get some post-game dap. Round one, no Isaiah Thomas. Gordon Hayward goes out early. But all in all, I thought a pretty good opening night of two of the six or seven best teams in the league. Cavs Celtics was fun. Both teams kind of, especially the Cavs, were playing some kind of weird rotations, kind of feeling each other out. It is game one. But you could tell at the end, LeBron was like, no, I'm not losing to Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. It was a good rally by the Celtics in the third, and then LeBron, like you said, LeBron kind of took over in the fourth quarter. And how about Kevin Love too? Big shot from him.
Yeah, at corner three from Love.
Yeah,
he has to be like, hey, now I'm the second best player on the team. Finally, take that, Kyrie. Have fun in Boston. Have fun in Boston. I'm the second man now. I'm not LeBron's second favorite. Maybe I've moved up a little on the list since James Jones retired. I don't know. I know Dwayne Wade's here now, so he's LeBron's favorite again. But maybe I'm not the most hated anymore.
They were talking about after the game, Irving and LeBron did kind of meet up. You know, didn't get a hug early on, but then after the game,
they dapped each other up after the game.
The way ESPN puts it. It's kind of weird. As the crowd exhaled, Irving shared a warm handshake and embrace with James. A warm handshake and embrace.
LeBron quoted him. LeBron was, I guess a writer put out that LeBron was, quote, exhausted, out of shape because he had been injured in the preseason. Like we talked about a little bit yesterday, like it was a game time decision whether or not he would even play. He said, he was worn out. So after the game, spent like an hour on like the elliptical or whatever, trying to get some, you know, work through some fatigue and get back in shape, which is crazy. But LeBron, 1-for-5 from three, 12-for-19 in the game, which means he was 11-of-14 from inside the three-point range. Athleticism looked to be a little bit off. Maybe it was injury. Maybe it's, hey, LeBron is getting kind of old. He's getting up there in minutes and years played. Maybe he loses a little bit of athleticism this year. I don't know. Still had a couple of nice chase down blocks. He's a freak. Derrick Rose, okay, as a starter. The bench, okay. Cleveland looked okay. Cleveland still looked good, but when you got to the West Coast game and you saw Rockets Thunder, I know the Warriors lost last night. I know the Warriors lost. Draymond Green got hurt. They blow a 13-point fourth-quarter lead. But that Warriors team this year just looks a lot better than last year. Like, just a lot deeper. They're going to be fresh come the playoffs. They might not have a really good regular season record. You know, imagine having that over 81.5 bet. You already lost it. Night one.
Yeah. Yeah, like, why would you ever put a bet on a team to win 82 straight games?
Well, you lost it on day one.
Unless you're talking about UConn women's basketball or something.
I would probably do it with UConn women's basketball, especially if I'm getting 35-1.
Yeah.
Probably get like 3-1 on UConn to win 82 in a row.
That's why yesterday when Ryan had told us about that, I told him I would need way better money than 35-1. I mean,
yeah, duh.
Those are nice odds, but still.
That's the biggest sucker bet ever.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to put down $100, it's not enough.
Rockets storm back, win 122-121. Durant hits a game winner, but after the buzzer, Chris Paul kind of struggles in his debut with the Rockets. He goes like 2-for-9. Sits out with a sore knee. I wonder if that'll be a lingering issue. He's someone else. Old, knees hurt. Not necessarily knows how he's a fit anyways. He didn't perform well, which made the Rockets even more impressive as they got a win. They only went 8 deep, and they got 8 really good players. The Rockets have come back improved this year with Mbamute and P.J. Tucker. They looked like the second-best team in the West. Maybe the story of the night, though, did you see bootleg Klay Thompson behind the bench? Did you see that guy? Bootleg. He came in Warriors shorts. A Klay Thompson jersey, rocking the goatee, looking like Klay Thompson's uncle. About 15, 20 pounds heavier than Klay Thompson. Probably about 3 or 4 years older than him, I don't know. But bootleg Klay Thompson was right behind the bench, dressed as Klay Thompson. I know that he's obviously doing it for a reason. He's going around trying to pose as Klay Thompson. And like that's the story of the night to me. 1A, Gordon Hayward breaks his ankle, dislocates his ankle. 1B, we have bootleg Klay Thompson running around the bay.
You think that's the number two story?
I think so.
No, I didn't notice him.
Did you ever see the picture a couple years ago of fake Arian Foster that was going around Houston?
Yeah.
And all these women would think that they were with Arian Foster?
Yeah.
And I would imagine that the fake Arian Foster tried to at least pass himself off in autographs, free drinks at the bar.
That's what I would do if I looked like Arian Foster.
I'm sure he never told people he wasn't Arian Foster. All I could think about was how bootleg Klay Thompson is probably running around the bay in bars when people get a little drunk, posing for pictures.
Yeah, trying to get free drinks.
Trying to impress some women.
I mean, I think it's a smart – if you look like somebody, if you look like a pro athlete, I would do it all the time.
I went to a Cavs-Pelicans game one time a couple years ago in Cleveland, and I sat next to a pretty good impersonation of Kevin Love. The guy looked a lot like Kevin Love. He was tall, and he had the official team warm-up suit on, and he was walking around like that. I just feel like if you're going to pull that off like out and about, you should just dress normal. Like, Klay Thompson don't run around in his jersey. I guess maybe at the game he is.
Yeah, like at the bar. He's not running around in Warriors stuff.
Right.
Probably.
Like, I feel like the better play would just be like, I'm Klay Thompson's brother or uncle. Do you want seats to the game? Do you want to get up in our family luxury suite? Like, I feel like that would be the play instead of just trying to be Klay Thompson. I would just dress normal if I'm bootleg Klay Thompson. Dress my age, dress a little bit normal, and say, yeah, that's my brother.
I think it depends on how close to them you look.
But he looks a lot like him.
Because if you look really close and you're you know, if you've got the height and all that kind of stuff, I think I would totally impersonate.
You would go just for Clay.
Yeah. Yeah, because that will get you more you're going to gain a lot more doing that than you would as his uncle.
I don't know, man. The entourage, it works in the entourage.
That guy, wow. That's the guy.
And he's sitting right behind the bench. Like, he can't pull off exactly like Klay Thompson. You can't pull off to being him.
If he lost a few pounds, he could.
Like I say, he's about 15 too heavy. Klay Thompson's mixed. This guy looks white. So, like, I don't know.
If he lost about, yeah, if he lost 15 or 20 pounds, he looks just like him. He could pull it off at the bar.
And look, he's sitting right behind the bench. He's right there behind it. Holding up the three. Like, I feel like being in the entourage could be just as good as being Klay Thompson. I feel like it's easier to pull off. Just like, hey, that's my brother. That's my brother. I feel like that's a much better play.
It depends on what you're going for, though.
Just all the perks of being Klay Thompson's family. Like,
I don't think you get all the perks. Because if you're Klay Thompson, you go to the bar, you can pick up women, you get free drinks. I feel like
Klay Thompson's entourage is doing okay, too.
They're doing okay financially.
Like, hey. We got seats to the game. You want to get in the VIP?
Yeah.
You want to get in the VIP? You want to come?
I don't think it's going to be as easy as if you're Klay Thompson, though.
Well, yeah, I just don't know if you can help. I don't know if people are actually falling for that. Like, he's not Arian Foster. The fake Arian Foster looked pretty damn identical to Arian Foster.
This guy, if he lost 15 pounds, he's pretty damn close.
Caleb, what do you think? Do you try to pull off the Klay Thompson, tell people you're him? Or do you do what I'm saying and just pretend like you're his brother?
Probably the brother. You get more perks. But if you walk up into the family box.
Yeah, see, I don't think you get more perks.
No way.
I think it's easier to pull off, but I don't think you get more perks than being Klay Thompson.
What, by walking around looking like him?
Well, yeah, like if you're tricking people into thinking you're Klay Thompson, like I feel like you would find yourself getting a lot of free drinks.
All right, you're a girl at a bar, okay? And I'm coming up, I'm approaching you. Are you going to be more likely to come home with me if I'm Klay Thompson or Klay Thompson's uncle?
Maybe go with brother. Maybe uncle doesn't work. Maybe go with Klay Thompson's brother.
Okay. Hey, I'm Klay Thompson's uncle.
The more I think about the uncle thing, like that's probably not going to work out.
All right. So if I just tell you, you probably don't know.
I'll be like, yeah.
Average girl at the bar, I'm going to say, would buy it. This guy, minus 15 pounds, I think the average girl at the bar would buy it. Now, if you go up to...
By the way, what are you doing, buddy? What are you doing? Like, you're obviously going for the Klay Thompson look. Like, you spent the $300 on the uniform. Can you not go to the gym for a couple months and drop 15?
Yeah, really.
Can you not do that? Like, you're obviously committed. You got the goatee. You got the waves in your hair. You're wearing the authentic jersey, the authentic shorts. You're $300 in already. Can you not go to the gym for a month?
Shed 15 pounds. Like,
fully commit to your craft. Like, Daniel Day-Lewis, it would be very, very disappointed. You're halfway becoming a method actor. You need to live as if you're Klay Thompson. Hell, maybe work on a jump shot, too, in case you're out and somebody wants to see you shoot a jumper.
Now, if you go to a bar full of NBA fans,
you're
in trouble.
Well, that's the thing is this probably really only works in the Bay. Like, this probably only works in Oakland, San Francisco. Yeah.
Maybe San Jose.
I feel like they, I don't know. Like, to me, the risk, now don't get me wrong, like in a perfect world, if you can pull it off, like it works. If you're like, hey, I'm Klay Thompson and people buy it, it works. But I feel like the chances of getting caught are pretty high. Like, I feel like you're in and they're like, wait, you kind of look like Klay Thompson. Are you really Klay Thompson? Show me your ID.
It's all fun and games until you're Klay Thompson and then you leave the bar and you go and jump in your 94 Toyota Corolla.
That's another thing.
Well, with the entourage, that wouldn't work either. You'd have to just leave your car there and Uber home.
Yeah, you have to Uber.
You just got to Uber home at that point.
And then if your home's not up to standard, like, that's another problem. Maybe this guy needs to be rich.
Well, he's sitting courtside.
So he's got to have a little money.
He's right behind the bench. Like, he's bought into this lifestyle.
If you're going to live this life, though, you've got to...
Maybe this is like the Marlins man. This is the Marlins man that's behind home plate of every baseball game. Maybe that's what fake Klay Thompson is.
Yeah, or maybe you go back to her place, you know, because you don't want some random girl to see your house.
Klay's not ready for me to bring people over. I told him the first couple of times, I'd only bring serious girls over.
No, I am Klay.
Oh, you're going with Klay?
You're so on the other side of this. I'm going with Klay. I'm thinking average girl at the bar doesn't know you're not Klay Thompson if you look pretty close.
I think you just – don't you just ride it out as you just leave the game, you all go to the bar, you're like, I'm not Klay Thompson, but I look like him. And then I think
no.
See, who's somebody real famous in Tennessee right now? You saw a Peyton Manning lookalike at the game, and we're going to Cool Beans, you're like, man, this guy deserves a shot. Like, he's got a huge forehead. He looks just like Peyton Manning. He's 6'6". I'm buying that guy's shot. I don't know about you guys.
He's probably not getting laid, though.
Yeah, I don't know. DC Coltrane reminds here in Knoxville when fake Lil Jon was running around and people were taking pictures. Like, look, I'm a nobody. Well, that's not true. I'm a star here in Knoxville. But there's a guy that looks just like me.
Really?
And constantly people like send me pictures with him and they think it's me. They tag me. And it's funny because it's a guy I know from my high school.
You think he's out there picking up women?
Picking up women. No, because look, the perks of being John Reed out in Knoxville, there's no women. It's just a bunch of pictures with dudes. Like, whenever I go out, and I like it. I enjoy meeting fans. I enjoy meeting people that support. But like, when I go out, it's a lot of dudes coming up saying, "Hey, I like the podcast. Hey, I like the show. You and Cody are funny. Love you and Seth. Love the videos. Blah blah blah." Never any women. Always dudes.
Yeah.
So, like, he always sends me. So, I don't think he's parlaying being a John Reed lookalike into any women. But
what if he did?
That would be sad. That would be sad. Because he does look a lot like me. And it's funny because he's from where I'm from. So, he always laughs about it. But I get pictures all the time tagged with that guy. I'm like, that's not me, bro. That's not me.
It's definitely not me.
Buddy could tell people he was my brother.
Yeah.
He could do that. Now, there wouldn't be any perks of being my brother. Like, I'm not on Klay Thompson's level. Like, there's no money that comes along with this. Klay Thompson's got it made. It's a long segment on Klay Thompson's doppelganger. 865-546-8200. We'll come back. Give us a phone call. Send us a tweet. Got overrated, underrated coming up at 11:30. Send me, send Caleb your topics you want us to debate. It's Talk Sports right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Back on the program, 865-546-8200 if you want to join. Baseball, did you watch any baseball last night?
A little bit. Yeah, I watched I was mainly watching the NBA. But
yeah.
I need to get more screens is what I need.
It sucks. Like, I'd been waiting, you know, for a long time for those first couple games. Admittedly, I didn't make it home in time for Cavs Celtics. I had to listen to it on the radio on the way home. I was up here doing my side project, my podcast, and I was up here till about 9:30. Got to listen to the fourth quarter because I have it on the radio, and then got home in time for some of the second game. Watched a little bit of Astros Yankees. Impressed by the Yankees being able to come back. They were down 4-0.
Mm-hmm.
4-0 in the seventh inning, score 2 in the seventh, then 4 in the eighth to win 6-4. Now all of a sudden they got game 5 at home because baseball does that weird thing where they go 2-3-2. So they play again today in New York. That Yankees crowd, it was pretty damn fun though. Like, they're loud, they're hungry. Like, they've been spoiled by success. Like, don't get me wrong, like, they do kind of remind me of Tennessee fans, though. Like, they've had more success. Don't get me wrong. They've had more recent success. They're 90s, you know, 4 World Series, right?
Yeah.
But they had another one in, like, 08, 09. But it's been a drought since that moment. Like,
yeah.
Since 2009, I believe, when they won. Maybe it was 2010. They've pretty much gone and been, I don't want to say irrelevant, but trying to find their way. The crowd's hungry. Kind of willed that team back. It's fun to watch. Like, I do kind of think of them and relate a little bit to Tennessee football fans. Like, except it looks like the Yankees are going to kind of be rewarded because right now, if you believe in like day-to-day momentum and you believe in a series kind of getting away from somebody, the Astros kind of seem to be shook, and the Yankees seem confident that lineup is hitting. They tie that series again. But you got the two aces on the mound today. Dallas Keuchel going against Tanaka. Tanaka shut out the Astros in game one but lost. Dallas Keuchel went. Keuchel, I don't want to say that guy's name. Has pitched good this playoffs. Today should be fun. It feels like whoever wins this game wins. I think if the Yankees win and go up 3-2, they'll get one in Houston. Obviously, I think if Houston wins, they'll win at least one of the next two in Houston in advance. And then in the National League, that game was boring, man.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Yeah, the Cubs just felt like they never even got off the bus back home.
Dodgers just rolling. I mean, the Cubs haven't even – it was 3-0 now.
Cubs hit a home run in the first inning, 1-0. The crowd's trying to believe. The Dodgers come back the top of the second, home run, top of the third, home run, get the lead immediately back. And then just from that point on, it seems like every time I turned the channel to that game to check in, the Dodgers were in scoring position. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like the Dodgers constantly had people on base threatening to score more runs. They're up 3-0. Safe to say that one's over. I don't think we're getting the 0-4 Red Sox moment here where the Cubs rally off four in a row.
No, probably not.
Don't think that's happening.
Think Dodgers is going to get it done. This is what I was pulling for, though. Last week I told you, though, I wanted to see Dodgers and Yankees. So this is what I'm –
yeah.
I hope that's what we get.
I mean,
I know you were with the Astros.
I thought the Astros would beat the Yankees. I think I said in six games. I find myself getting caught up when I watch the games, though, of like wanting to root for the Yankees. Like I've told you, my best buddy's huge Yankees fan from New York. Like I usually root for him just because of him. I wanted to be right, and I thought the Astros would win. But, man, like that Yankees lineup and then the bullpen. Once you get into the bullpen, they're a problem. You know, you saw Chapman come in, easily close it out last night. Dave Robertson, they're good in the bullpen. And the lineup's fun. Aaron Judge finally starting to hit a little bit. I think I would have to switch my pick right now if you asked me again. Obviously, the Dodgers are through, and I do think we might get the battle of the East Coast and West Coast. That'll be fun. It'd be good for ratings.
Yeah, it would. Well, that's what I was thinking, too. I mean, I think that would be good for baseball because you get the two biggest markets going against each other.
And it's not like the Yankees are an unlikable team, right? Like, it's not like the Yankees that – like I said, we're kind of accustomed to the evil empire. They're just out spending money. This team's got a lot of rookies on there. This team's got a lot of young players. You don't have the feeling of buying this team. Like, I'd be surprised. I'm 99% sure that the highest paid position player is Jacoby Ellsbury, and he doesn't even play. Like, he's a bench guy. Judge, Young, Sanchez, Young, Bird, Young, Didi's kind of a throwaway from his days in Arizona. Like, all these guys are fun to root for.
Yeah, it's just, to me, it's the brands, you know, Cubs, Yankees, Dodgers. Like, to me, that's what will get me into baseball. That's what will get me into the World Series, because I don't care when it's like teams that are just, there's some history there. You know what I mean? Like, for me, I related to college football. Like, you know, if Alabama's playing Ohio State, great. But if it's Oregon versus Baylor, I don't care.
Even Oregon versus Auburn didn't feel big. Like,
no.
Those two teams were fun. Like, Cam Newton was a star. Oregon, you know, was a long time coming from them. They kind of built it up and had the underdog role. But I always say it in March Madness, too. Like, I'm usually right there with you. Like, in March Madness, the upsets are fun. Give me the upsets in week one. But in the Sweet 16, get the hell out of the way and then let me watch my Blue Bloods battle. Like,
and that's Kentucky, usually what
happens. Kentucky, North Carolina. Give me that.
Yeah.
Don't give me Villanova, but the UConn Butler matchup where you got Cinderella's.
Yeah.
No thanks. Don't give me that. Give me the Blue Bloods. I'm usually like that with baseball. I don't know if the Astros have just been so fun. They've been really disappointing this series. They're just not hitting the ball. But Yankees Dodgers would be great. We talked about ratings. Boomer was in the office yesterday talking about how baseball's up 40% in ratings from last postseason to this postseason.
Mm-hmm.
We did kind of dive in those numbers and kind of figure out that it might have a lot to do with the ALCS last year having Toronto in there.
Yeah.
And, like, Canadian TV does not work in the U.S. market of ratings. So, like, fun with numbers type of thing. It's Butch Jones. Butch Jones's PR department might be running Major League Baseball's playoff department. PR department as they're bragging about the huge ratings increase, but
and you had Cleveland.
Yeah.
Right? Cleveland's not a great ratings. I mean, it's, you know,
they had the story you had the storylines of Cleveland, Chicago, but now you have the two huge markets of LA
and New York. You actually have all the top 4 here. Oddly enough.
Really?
Because L.A., New York, Chicago are the top 3, and then Houston
is number 4.
I'm pretty sure Houston is number 4 ahead of Philadelphia or Dallas. So ratings should look good this year, I would think.
Got some ratings reports coming from the NFL. Got some NFL news coming up on the other side. Not good. Not good for the NFL. Not good for CBS and Fox as the ratings report comes in. We'll try to figure out why. You know, go ahead.
I was going to say I lied. Houston's number 8.
Okay.
So I just wanted
what's number 4?
Just wanted to clarify. Philadelphia, Dallas. Okay. Dallas is 5.
You got your Texas cities missed up.
Yeah, I thought Houston was a higher market.
You
TV
idiot.
Market.
You stupid, stupid idiot.
I know.
Overrated, underrated. Cody McClure's intelligence. Very overrated. He's a stupid idiot.
Agree.
We'll get to the NFL on the other side. It's Talk Sports right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Back on the program, baseball ratings, good. Baseball ratings, up. NFL ratings, down. Again, 7.5% decrease, Cody, compared to the first 6 weeks of 2016. Down 18.7% from 2015. Like, that's a troubling number, almost down 19% since 2015. But we saw last year, you know, the decline. Last year it was, well, the primetime games haven't been very good. The presidential election, it bounced back a little bit late in the season. Well, this is just compared to the first 6 weeks of 2016 when things were bad then, right? Like the first 6 weeks, that's what dominated the conversation last year was the ratings falling. They ended up rebounding a little bit. But right now, to that point in time, through 6 weeks, NFL ratings down 7.5% compared to 2016. What's your initial reaction to those numbers?
So it says an average of 15 million people watched the games for 6 weeks this year. Last year compared with 16.2 million.
Yeah, so down 1.2 million people on average.
To me, ratings are they're always tough to gauge. I mean, they're always going to be skewed. You know, I don't know that the rating system is necessarily a reliable system anymore. You know what I mean? I mean, because it's just people with they used to have the PPMs, the portable people meters or whatever, where they give you the thing and you type what you want, type in what you're watching, basically.
I've never heard of that.
Well, that's how they
I mean,
used
I believe
to,
you. I'm just
or
saying.
That, that may have just been radio.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, I've never heard of that.
I remember learning about all this stuff at one point, but I've forgotten.
I'm not classically trained. I didn't.
Yeah, I've forgotten most of it. But
my college classes were all talking about feelings.
Feelings?
Kind of.
What was your degree
Comp
in?
Studies. Like, we had some weird
Comp
stuff.
Studies?
Yeah, we were just about like.
You got the same degree as Peyton Manning. I think that's what his degree was in at UT.
That's very true. We're on the same path.
Yeah, you're going to end up just like him.
Yeah, me and Peyton lockstep throughout history.
Anyway, the ratings, I don't know how much I rely. I don't know enough about them to really say, you know, but I don't know how reliable they are. Because a lot of times it's just people, you know, it's just whatever's on in the background. They may not necessarily be watching it. It's a flawed system is basically the point. But I do think that the NFL viewership probably is down, you know, so I don't put too much stock in ratings, but I also believe that it probably is down. For me, I've just been trying to figure out why that's the case, because people point to the protests, you know, and the all the Kaepernick stuff, and some people think that's why, and a significant number of people have tuned out. I think that's probably a smaller number of people than we think.
To me, it's like you can't blame, like when ESPN lays people off, to me, the common sense reaction is cord cutting.
Right.
Right? Like, everyone tries to make it about some political agenda. People that don't like liberals blame ESPN's liberal leaning for, like, why the decline. For me, it's always pretty cut and dry. Like, cord cutting is an issue. But here, I don't know. Because with CBS and Fox, like, you don't have to have a cord. You do not have to have cable. You can get basic cable. Like, there was a piece in the Wall Street Journal or whatever where millennials were just figuring out you get free channels.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think, like, most people kind of understand they could watch CBS and Fox if they wanted for free, you know, with just rabbit ears.
Yeah.
So, like, cord cutting isn't the answer here. And, in fact, when you look at these numbers, Cody, like, Monday Night Football is actually up. Monday Night Football, which, you know, is on ESPN, which you do have to have a cable subscription, their ratings have actually gone up 6% compared to last year.
Because all the people in Knoxville watching Gruden.
That might be it.
That's probably part of it.
That might be it. Like, and it might be the gambling stuff we've talked about. Like, every Monday Night Football game has come down to, like, the last play in terms of, like, point spreads. Like, it's been – they've had some pretty close – competitive games with some decent teams. Like, the Monday night games so far have been better than the Sunday night games, and maybe that plays a little bit into it. But maybe the Cowboys not being as good this year.
Well, see, that's
the Giants not being as good. Like, they've been a mainstay, like, on Sunday night football and primetime football, like, on Sunday afternoons. Neither one of those teams are as good as they were last year. Maybe that has something to do with it, because, like you said, that's number one and number five market.
Right. See, we talked about
America's team, Cowboys, a huge draw.
Yeah.
Like, maybe them just not being good this year, maybe them being disappointing, maybe all that plays into these numbers going down.
And we talked about that with baseball, the DMAs, the designated market areas, where, you know, you have cities. Certain cities draw the most people in. And you look at your top two, New York, you've got the Giants and the Jets. They're both terrible.
The Jets are strangely, like, 3-3. Like,
yeah.
I'm kind of intrigued in watching them. They got some fun receivers, like, they kind of have the Yankees effect. Like, their crowd just desperately wants to be good. Like,
they're not the Jets of the 70s, though.
Like, watching the Jets Patriots, I was kind of like, this team's kind of fun. I don't mind watching them. But your point's taken. They're not a contender.
L.A. Chargers, Rams. I mean, what? I like the Rams,
yeah,
but nobody cares.
I don't know how big of a draw they are.
Chicago, the Bears, not really good. You know, you look at Philadelphia. The Eagles should be up. Texans,
yeah,
not really. Cowboys down. You know, I mean, really, the only one you can point to of the top markets that's decent right now, Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I mean, other than that, who are your top teams in the NFL? Probably Kansas City. Nobody in Kansas City. Is Kansas City, that's what, probably maybe a top 50 market?
Like, I do think there are, you know, I would say that the political stuff, the protest, Kaepernick on both sides, I do think that has made a little bit of a difference, but not a 1.2 million people difference. I wouldn't think.
Right. I really wouldn't either. I mean,
I'm sure it has a piece of the pie. I would say 200,000-300,000 people maybe have been affected, but 1.2 million, I don't know where that is from last year. Because it's not like football was good last year, so, like, the quality of product isn't hurting, but maybe that's it. Maybe these teams aren't any good. Every week when we do our Power Five, we're like, who are the good teams?
Yeah.
And it's definitely not the top five, you know, the teams in the top five markets, so maybe there's just not star power. And let me tell you, like, Aaron Rodgers going down doesn't help.
No.
Peyton Manning retiring doesn't help. Like, Peyton Manning, obviously, we love him here in Knoxville, but across the country, he was a draw. People wanted to watch him play the game. Losing him doesn't help.
Kansas City's the number 35 market in America. Pittsburgh's number 27. I mean, you look at the very top, though. Nothing from New York, L.A., Chicago, nothing. San Francisco's terrible.
Yeah.
Dallas is not good. Houston, eh. Washington's not good. Even the Falcons, the number 8 market, Falcons are down. You know, they've lost, what, 2 in a row. Matt Ryan's all rattled. Philadelphia is the number nine market, and they've got the maybe the best major team in the NFL right now. And then Boston, the number 10 market, you've got the Pats. So it might
be that simple, because if you look at, you know, the Monday night games, you've had the Giants at week two before they were terrible. You know, New York.
Yeah.
New York versus Detroit. New York, a lot of people tuned in. Week three, Dallas at Arizona.
People thought they were still good at
that
point.
Yeah, week three, you weren't out. People still aren't around Dallas, but people, right. even the bandwagon fans are still watching. Week four, Kansas City, Washington, that's probably on average to last year, nothing big. And then week five, Minnesota, Chicago. Like, you get Chicago. So, like, yeah. That was Mitch Trubisky's first start. Maybe it is as simple as the good teams, the big markets not having good teams. I don't know.
I mean, it's just when you look at your top markets, you could say out of those top 10, your three best teams, because I do figure Atlanta comes around at some point, right? So,
yeah.
So, Pats, Eagles, Falcons, those are 8, 9, 10. Nobody in the top 7 is any good whatsoever.
Stock price for both Fox and CBS lowered because of the NFL's ratings decline. A report saying the third quarter for CBS's stock will be off 3% because of the decline. They had been projecting a 1%, kind of slip. Said now that's going to be 3%. So that's not good from a business standpoint. Like, you had the NFL players and owners meeting yesterday to try to come to some type of compromise of, like, how they're going to handle these protests. To me, like, maybe the bottom dollar is being affected. Maybe it is. I don't know. The ratings are going down for some reason. Maybe you just have to rig the league. But whenever you talk about the NBA being rigged and how they wanted Patrick Ewing on the Knicks and they froze the envelope and how they wanted the Lakers in the finals, like, maybe just from a business standpoint, you have to have that.
Yeah. I do think, like, there's multiple factors at play. I mean, for sure. But I do think that, honestly, it's just the market. None of the top markets are not good. I think that has a bigger impact than the protests and all that stuff. Now, I do believe there are some people who are adamant, I'm not watching it anymore. Just not going to watch. You know, I know people who are like that. But I don't think that's a huge number enough to affect these ratings. For the vast number of people that watch the NFL across the country, I don't think that that's a huge dent, nearly as much as just that the top markets they're no good. Now, the other thing you talk about, though, star power, that's a big reason. No Peyton Manning.
Like, it's funny to say that because obviously in Knoxville we love Peyton, but I do think across the country people want to tune in to watch Peyton Manning and appreciate, the level of play he brought to the quarterback position. Like, you just don't have that. You have Aaron Rodgers, but now he's gone. Now he's hurt. Like, Tom Brady, sure, but people kind of disdain the Patriots. But people still watch those games. But other than that, what quarterbacks are you tuning in to watch?
Right.
Droop Dog tweets in, he's an NFL sheep, but the product hasn't been that entertaining. Like, yeah.
Star power. I mean, that has something.
Star power's not there, and then the games, because of that, like, because of the way the games are played now where you're dinking and dunking and, like, it's just – you're not throwing deep balls anymore. Like, one of my favorite things is, like, the deep ball. I want to see quarterbacks throw 25, 30-yard passes. I don't want to see them throw 4 or 5-yard passes up and down the field. Like, I think there is something to that, and the lack of star power is an issue. Like, and it's going to get worse. Like, I was thinking about this over the weekend. It's going to get worse. Tom Brady, close to being done, right? Would you be surprised if all three of the class of 2004 quarterbacks retired? Would you be surprised if Big Ben, Eli, and Phillip Rivers, all three retired? I wouldn't be.
No.
And I would bet money that at least one of them does retire.
And then who is your quarterback star? Besides Brady and Rodgers, Big Ben's not doing much anymore. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he retires. Like, the NFL desperately needs Mariota to be good. They need him to take a leap. They need Derek Carr to take a leap. They need Jameis. Like, they thought they had 5 or 6 quarterbacks.
Cam Newton.
Yeah. Like, Cam, Slip, Matt Ryan. Like, are people tuning in to watch Matt Ryan? I'm not.
No.
But the next class of quarterbacks, like, you need – I'm not watching Andy Dalton play quarterback.
Carson
Sorry.
Wentz.
Wentz is exciting. Like, I could get behind Wentz. Goff, needs to take another step, but like Mariota, Winston, Derek Carr needs to bounce back badly to like kind of be the new face of quarterbacks.
But they're nowhere close to a Rodgers or a Brady. Like after Rodgers and Brady, just those two, who's the next most compelling quarterback in the NFL?
Do people still watch Drew Brees? I don't know.
I guess.
Like Russell Wilson, Brees, Cam, like I don't know.
It's not even close to me after Brady and Rodgers.
We'll tell you what the owners and players decided in their meeting, and then speaking of the Cowboys, Ezekiel Elliott got some news. This thing's going to drag on all year, I guess. We'll update you on that. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. The NFL owners and players got together yesterday in New York City to discuss protesting, making a change in the community. Came away with the NFL owners punting on the idea of making players do anything, making them stand. They did not sign off on the Jerry Jones model. They did not sign off on Donald Trump's suggestion. In fact, Jerry Jones wasn't even invited to the meeting. They didn't want Jerry there, which was probably for the good of everybody involved. Like, the owners didn't want Jerry to kind of incite the players. The players probably didn't want to hear what Jerry was saying. They leave him out of the meeting. They come to no agreement on what to do to handle these. They're just going to kind of keep taking it day by day, I guess. But no forced rule, no uniform rule. For Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, a small victory, I guess. Ezekiel Elliott granted temporary restraining order, will work for 2 weeks. He will get to play this week against the 49ers. Doesn't say anything about the rest of the season, so I'll call it a small victory. Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys need to start winning some games. Ezekiel Elliott needs to get back to last year's type of running. The 49ers, like, they need to win this game. Having him on the field obviously helps.
Yeah, the shine is kind of worn off, Dallas. You know, we talked about that coming into the year. Like, last year was almost magical, the way Dak and Zeke emerged, and now you're looking at 2-3. You know,
got blown out by Denver.
Two straight home losses, too, to the Rams. And then, I mean, not much you can do about Aaron Rodgers. You leaving him 2 minutes. But it's just
I feel like maybe I'm too low on Dallas at this point. Like, if you look at the schedule, they lost to the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. Like, they played good that game. Aaron Rodgers just put on a legendary performance. They lose at home in Denver. The final score, they got blown out, so maybe that raised some red flags. They beat a pretty good Arizona team. Like, I thought Arizona sucked, but Arizona just keeps winning. Maybe I was too rough on Arizona. Like, that's a decent win. And then lost to what I think are two pretty good teams, and the Rams. I think the Rams are good, and I do think that Green Bay and with Aaron Rodgers was good. So, like, maybe the Cowboys aren't as bad as I'm talking about them being, but I do think, like you said, the shine is off. Like, Dak, not been figured out. He's still a productive quarterback, but he hasn't had the luxury of just handing the ball off to Zeke and kind of being able to play off play action and play in a clean pocket. Like, they've kind of taken away the middle of the field for him. He's dinking and dunking a whole lot to the outside. Like, the offense hasn't been explosive by any means, and the defense isn't very good. Against the 49ers this weekend, they should win. Maybe not, though. Like, the 49ers have been playing pretty close to everybody. Surely, you know, they're probably thinking they'll break through at any point. But the Cowboys need Zeke, and they get him this week at least.
And Dallas has plenty of time to kind of, you know, we'll find out more. Right? You know what I mean? Because
I don't know how much time they do have. That's the problem, is like, they're already – The Eagles are out racing out to a very early division lead. The wild card right now up for grabs, I guess. But when you look at who's in front of Dallas, you got Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, six games in, Green Bay top of the wild card. Green Bay is going to fall back. The Saints, I think the Saints are pretty good. Atlanta will come back. Washington, eh. Seattle, I think's good. And then Detroit and Arizona. So, like, the Cowboys, I can't say without a doubt, are better than, you know, many of those teams. I'll say they're better than Detroit. But other than that, like, I don't know.
Yeah, well, the thing is, they've got the 49ers and the Redskins. And then I don't know that they have that much time. What I mean is I think we're going to find out really what they're made of after that, because then it's Chiefs, Falcons, Eagles.
Yeah.
So, like, at this point, there's a lot of question marks. We don't know really what to take, what to say about Dallas, because they've, you know, they got the one good win, but we just haven't seen very much.
From the moment I saw Dak Prescott at the Mississippi State women's basketball game acting like an idiot, I said they're going 8-8. I feel like I might have overshot that. I don't know. Hour one in the books, hour two on deck. We'll get to the phone lines right after the break. Stick with us as Talk Sports right here on Fox Sports Knoxville.